Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. So I'm here with Angelo, and Angelo is one of my fellow Boss Up coaches. He's also an inspiring guy, and we're going to hear all about his story, yeah, and how he gets to be in the game of business coaching. But what's brought him here? Yeah, Angelo has done many kind of things in business. He's been in the fitness industry. He's been in a range of other things. And so I'm going to introduce Angelo now. Tell us a little bit about how do you get to be here? Tell us a little bit of your backstory.
Sure. Okay. All right. I'm going to take you back a little bit, about 20 years. I was in a motorcycle accident, and this is a big moment in my life. I was 21 years old. I was hit by a landscaping truck in a hit and run. I had 10 screws and a plate in my foot. I was in the hospital for 2 months and rehab for 5 months. And the next following years of that, I had some small time businesses, but I didn't really know who I was going to be and what lane I was going to be in my life. And in 2008, I watched the movie 300 with Gerard Butler and all those Spartans, and I was amazed by how fit everybody was. And I was like, how did this happen? And I started doing some research, found out that they worked out at a gym in Utah called Jim Jones, and Jim Jones used this methodology called CrossFit. And in 2008, CrossFit wasn't out yet, like it was still underground. And so I said, what is this CrossFit stuff? And I clicked on a video, and I watched a guy do a workout called King Kong. And it was like picking up heavy weights and swinging on rings and doing all this stuff. And I was like, I want to learn how to do this. And so January 5th, 2009, I was 300 pounds at that point. I was completely out of shape. My foot was really stiff. I started working out and I did CrossFit on my own. I lost 100 pounds in 7 months. And wow. Was a completely new man. I really found my resolve and discipline. I feel, as looking back, that was like my rite of passage as a man. I had people that were very inspired in my neighborhood by my weight loss and were like, can you work out with us? And I was like, sure. And every time I would get done, I was like, this is so fun. Could this be what I do? Could this be who I become? And so I sent out a text message to everybody in my phone, and I started training people at a local park in Chicago in the summer of 09. And I live in Chicago, so summer is a few months. And so it started getting chilly. And I took a racquetball court space and converted it into a little training studio. I trained up to three people at a time. I built that up for about 10 months. And then I was ready to open my own facility. In November of 2010, I opened O'Hare CrossFit, which was my first gym. Then it took me about, I found a mentor in Connecticut that really taught me the business game of CrossFit. It took me about 2 years. And then I expanded to more than double the square footage that I was originally in, about 5,500 square feet. And I just kept running with the ball, Roy. Then 2 years later, I opened up another gym. A year later, I opened up a nutrition coaching company. And because of that notoriety I had, I started helping gym owners with their business. And I was an entrepreneur since I was 17. And so a lot of people that got in the fitness industry were ex-athletes, people that wanted to make people feel good, but they had no idea how to read a P&L or even where to find one. And so I started coaching businesses. Then I opened up a online programming company for athletes that wanted to compete in CrossFit. And that was absolutely wonderful. Everything was rocking and rolling. And then around 2019, I just had this realization that I didn't love the fitness industry anymore. I just felt, for me, Roy, this is all about what I could do with my brains. That's what I want to feel like. I want to feel like this is a game with my brain that I'm playing. And obviously money matters, but money's the byproduct of my brain learning new things. And so I started putting everything in place to sell everything. And it wound up being Just incredible timing because the last business I sold was 2 weeks before lockdown of COVID. And sold everything in COVID. We had no idea what COVID was. Everybody thought COVID was going to be this like 2 week thing. And so I sold everything. And then March 20th came and they're like, you got to stay in your house. And I came to my wife and I said, listen, we have a little bit of money. I'm going to continue coaching online with Zoom. I could live anywhere. Where do you want to live? And so I packed up my family and we moved to a little beach town, Roy. I love the ocean. Moved to a little beach town in Southern California called San Clemente. And we hit the gold mine in Orange County. There wasn't a lot of lockdown stuff. We were able to go outside. We were able to play. And when I was there, I got exposed to a very high level of business. There's a lot of VCs and people in funding and stuff like that. And I got really exposed to the CPG, the consumer packaged good world, and met a lot of people in that world and started advising businesses there and learned 50, $100 million business, which was such a different version than I was from. I was usually playing under 10 million before then. And so I got to learn all of that. And then after a couple of years, my wife and I just looked around and didn't feel like we love the weather, we love being there, but we love our people, we love community. And so we decided to move back in June of 22 back to Chicago. And when I got here, I had a really dear friend who, during COVID, unlike most people who had bad times, he had probably his best time of business. He had a pizza by the slice restaurant concept, and he went from 3 locations to 12 locations in 2.5 years, all throughout this crazy COVID. And he knew that I knew the operating system game and I knew about structure and culture. And so he asked me to come and help him. And he's been my best friend since I was 13. So how can I say no? It took me about 18 months to really develop everything inside of that company. I hired a brand new leadership team, redid the values and mission and vision, and really brought everybody together there. And then I kept a few clients during that time, but I put a lot of focus into there. And then right as soon as I felt like that was in stable condition, I went back to my full-time practice. And yeah, I've just been an entrepreneur since I was 17. And then this weight loss into this fitness career is really where I cut my teeth.
Let's go back to when you were 17. How did you start? I love the entrepreneur starting a story because there's so many people out there, right, that want to be an entrepreneur. I don't know how many people you meet that have got a great idea for the next company. Yeah, and just take step and go. You actually have to do something with it. So give me the first entrepreneurial story. Yeah, I'll tell you mine if you tell me yours.
Yeah, for sure. When I was 5 years old, my father was incarcerated in federal prison for 11 years. And so, just to give anyone a backstory, a guy from Chicago, a gangster, you could imagine who my father really was. And I just grew up in a world where my father really preached not working for somebody and really having control of your life. For me, the entrepreneur journey is more about freedom than it is about my ideas. Yeah, for me. And so I had to start working at a very young age because my father was away. I had to clean up. I cleaned up a barber shop when I was 10 years old. And then I wound up working for this man who owned a restaurant at 12. And he really took a liking to me. He was like my second father, my first mentor, this man named Danny. And he wanted to open up a pizza place separate from his restaurant. And he really loved me. And he said, listen, why don't you do this with me? And that was my first opportunity to do it. And that was my first business of many.
Amazing. You said something there that resonates. Business should be about freedom. It should be about giving you more freedom. And I think that's a real problem for so many business owners. They get into it, and without continuously learning, without continuously pushing yourself forward, it suddenly becomes you working for your business. And your business owns you, and you don't have any space, and you don't have capacity. And for me, I was in that place where I was doing the 14-hour days, 7 days a week, and just totally stuck there. My first entrepreneurial gig after selling newspapers at 11 years old was that I worked in a mushroom farm as a packing shed manager, right? Not those mushrooms, the normal ones. And I'd get there at 3 in the morning, I'd finish at 11 in the morning. So I had this afternoon free and I had all these amazing mushrooms. I never used to like mushrooms. Yeah. So I said to the owner, yeah, could I? All my friends kept on saying, bring me some mushrooms, bring me some mushrooms. So he said, okay, yeah. So can I buy some? So eventually I was buying mushrooms from him for 4 rand and I was selling them for 6 rand.
Nice.
After about a week or two of people just saying, bring me, I was like, people like this stuff. So I said to him, "Look, I'm gonna buy 20 bags," and I put them in my little two-door Golf, and I drove down the road and I stopped at the first office building, got my bag, my boxer, again, like mushroom, sorry, a banana boxer. I said, "Anyone want some fresh mushrooms?" And boom, gone. And it just went from there. So I was door to door selling these mushrooms, and within 3 months I was making 4 or 5 times my salary selling mushrooms, 2 or 3 hours a day. So I was like, okay, I like this. And you have all those lessons you learn, right? You have all those lessons as you go through, and you figure out actually you can't do this and you can do that. And your first play at 17, how did that go? How did that turn out? What was that?
It went absolutely terrible, Roy. Absolutely terrible. Let's just be really transparent. I was managing people that were older than me. I thought you had to manage people like a dictator. I would yell at them and be mean to them. I treated people like my father treated me. And I just thought when you did something bad, I had to shame the shit out of you so you never did it again. Okay. And I really, forgive me, I'm 17. I was a junior in high school for crying out loud. But I had no idea how to get people behind stuff. And back to what you said, I think the strongest skill any entrepreneur could have is sales. You're selling your people, you're selling your product, you're selling your vision. You are just constantly helping people align with something. And that's what really sales is. And I didn't have those skills back then or that know-how. And so it didn't go really well, but it was a great experience and really just it was got in the game. You know, that's the best part about it.
And that point of sales is as you get more mature in the game, you realize you have to build rapport. People buy from people, right? Yeah,
That's
and
it.
that's the same with your suppliers, it's the same with your customers, it's the same with your family, it's the same with everybody, right? You have to be, you actually have to want to be a nice person, and you have to want to understand about people. I love learning about people. That's part of the reason why I do this podcast. It's because I hear such awesome stories all the way through. And understanding that and really digging in deeper and deeper, that's the spice of life. The spice of life. Yeah, moving on from here, you built up this CrossFit empire, as it were. You got out at exactly the right time. I got in at exactly the wrong time. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. Yeah, and then you've come out and we've started. Yeah, we were together in the Boss Up community, so the business operating system community that Scott Abbott runs. This is based around the 90 methodology of a business operating system. So just give me some flavor of what business operating system is, how you got into it, where you started, and how it changed where you are.
Yeah, so in 2006, so 2016, 2015, Roy, it was a year that I realized that I needed to meet people that were smarter than me, better than me, and also too, just coming over the hurdle that I could ask for help and it doesn't make me a weak man. That was it. Like more than anything, that was it. And so in 2016, I joined a mastermind. And it was $25,000. I didn't have the money. I just threw it on the Amex card and hoped for the best, right? And so I fly out to Cabo San Lucas, meet with these highline entrepreneurs, and one of them was talking about the book Traction. And I'm the kind of guy when I go to these events, when someone mentions a book, I'm adding it to the Amazon cart as they're talking. And so
Yeah,
I read this and I was like, okay,
I'll give you all the
yeah.
books.
I was like, okay, this makes a ton of sense. This is how I could create structure. I was really good at writing workout programs that had structure and things like that, and boundaries where people play and a destination and milestones. And so when I read that, I go, oh, this just makes complete sense of how to run a business. And so I started adopting that for my fitness business. And even though I didn't have a full leadership team and all of that, we made it work. You could pick and play little parts of it. I think a lot of times people think about a business operating system and think that they need the whole thing right now. But like you and I both know this, just do the org chart right, and that'll probably change your life right now, tomorrow. Just get that done. Don't worry about anything else. Just continue with this. You don't need goals. Just get the org chart right and everyone knowing what they're supposed to do, and you'll find your way. And so I would just put in pieces at a time, little pieces at a time. And then we started having quarterly planning meetings and all of that. And then I was taking that good results and then bringing it to the clients that I was coaching with. And then so that was my beginning of really learning what a business operating system was. And then I just kept going deeper. I think if you're a business operating system nerd and you don't check out Scaling Up, you're missing history. That was Vern really put it out there for Geno to make traction. That was the first operating system, if you will. And I just kept learning these little parts of things that worked out well. Oh, these Rockefeller habits are really nice to have a point of reference. And then this will work like this and there. And so that's how I really built these businesses. And honestly, this is how I was able to sell these businesses because they had some sort of structure that someone could step into and go, okay, this is your role. This is the part you need to play. And this is how this works.
And that's the thing, right? I mean, we, as business owners, we start we're a solo entrepreneur, we do it all ourselves. Then we bring in a friend because he needs some money and we need someone to hold our hand. Yeah, but our friend, let's face it, he's not really good at that much. He might be good at one thing, but then he ends up doing four things. So now I'm wearing kind of seven hats and he's wearing four hats. But he never does the thing that I do as well as I do it. Yeah, he does it as well as he's heard me, or I think he's heard me do it, let's say it. So he gets that slightly wrong. So the SOPs never get rolled out properly. The job description never gets rolled out properly. And by the time you've got five to seven people, you suddenly can't grow anymore because everybody's doing everything and nobody's responsible for anything. So you end up in this really weird play of, and that's when you start looking at the org chart, like you're saying, you're just building out every single role and responsibility. Everyone knows what they're doing. Everyone has a good understanding of what they're doing. And boom, things start working, right? Because I'll never forget that there's this difference that I've worked out between entrepreneurs and staff, right? Now, entrepreneurs, we're always going to do 50% more. And it's not because we're better. It's just because it's ours. We're invested in it. We then expect somebody to pull the same game, and you're like, then you're upset because they're not doing it, right? And you're like, yeah, and then you're shouting and screaming and say, I told you what to do and you didn't do it. And once you actually take that step back and realize what motivates people, what drives people, and you start playing the people game, that's one of the biggest changes out there.
Agreed. And also, too, to piggyback on that is finding the right people for the right roles. I used to just plug anybody and go, yeah, you could do marketing. You just because you like marketing doesn't mean you could do marketing. I like a lot of things, okay? And so that having all that structure just helped allowed me to see the game more clearly and understand what I was doing. The analogy I give to a lot of founders is imagine if we went to go play a sport. Let's just call it football for you, because I know that you're from London in England. So let's say we went to play football.
Rugby.
Rugby. Okay.
I don't do
All right.
football.
Let's say we went to play rugby and I didn't tell you how to score points. I didn't tell you what the positions were. You didn't know what was required for each position. It would be chaos. You just need that same sort of structure in a business, and then things can take care of themselves.
I love that. That's really awesome. So you spoke a little bit about being 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And at that stage, presumably there was some pizza parlor involved in that.
Sure.
Talk me through that transition, and how that trans one of the things that I spend a lot of time doing is speaking to people, to business owners about their wealth, so their health, because they can't have wealth without health. It doesn't
Yeah.
work. Mental health, it has to be good. Physical health has to be good. You need to have energy in the day. So how did that play out for you as you went through this CrossFit journey?
I realized that the quality of everything in my life is the quality I have for myself. And my body is just a vehicle to deliver what I really want in my life. And so my heart, my soul, my spirit, and my physical body is really the limiter of what I can create. And so I look at this as I wake up every day, I train from 6 to 7 o'clock, some way, shape, or form. I do something physical to start my day. And it just has allowed me to have more energy, to focus better, to do other things. And I'm very passionate about that too. I think that if you're leading people, leading is modeling. And what you are, the product you're putting out has nothing to do with your words. It's all to do with your being and your physical practice and your spiritual practice. That is what people really feel. They don't pay attention to what you say.
100%. And that's the energy you bring to the equation, isn't it? Just so much. People don't recognize energy, but they feel energy and they respond to energy in such a way. And if you're coming in and you're like half dead all the time, you're going to get nowhere. I figure that some in the UK, I don't know about the US, I think there's 70% of small business owners on near burnout.
For sure.
They don't have to be. They get that work on themselves, work on their energy, work on their wellness. And suddenly things are better. So we're going, let's move forward now a little bit, and let's think a little bit about, we've seen some changes, right? COVID has massively changed, and now we're starting to play the AI game. Got your Scott's book here, Boss Up, and I remember I joined, was it maybe October, November last year? Yeah, I was rambling on about AI all the time, and everyone was looking at me funny. Now we're all in there. Where do you see this going, and how do you see it helping business owners?
For me, first, there's going to be so many ways. This to me is going to be the internet on steroids. Like, this is going to be another level. But what I'm really excited about is the potential that everyone is going to have an assistant. Every role in your company is going to have someone that could take away all of the mind-numbing, mindless things and allow you to focus on the things that really require a human. And I think a lot of people, when you're talking about burnout, you mentioned burnout. Burnout is doing all those things.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? Doing those monotonous things, having to research for 3 or 4 hours on something and get information and all that. But now you could just have a summary on your desk in 20 minutes. I just don't see why this is there. And I just think it's gonna, I'm not one of those people that is, oh, it's gonna replace humans. No, I really believe that this is going to allow us to be more human and more skilled in the things that only humans could do. And it's gonna be uncomfortable for a lot of people that have made their life around being a cog, if you will. But now it's gonna require all of us to be our most creative, our most connecting selves, because that's all that's gonna be the opportunity, because no longer is that other stuff gonna be required. So I'm very excited about this shift that we're having in reality and allowing this to do that monotonous stuff and allowing us to do the stuff that we were really born to do.
I think, yeah, to take that to the next level, you see a company with 10 people, and whether it's 10 or 100, it doesn't matter. And you have the opportunity of making that 10 people 2 people and shrinking the company down to that, which I don't suggest. Or you have the opportunity to take that company of 10 people and do 100 people's worth of work, right?
100%.
And yeah, 10x, 12x, 15x the company's revenue. And to your exact point, there's 20% of what we do that's the human, and 80% that's the grunge. And if you can get all those 10 people to do that 20%, the whole company becomes human. It just becomes more human. And that's what's going to make us stand out. The AI can do all these amazing things, and that's all great. But you can't have this conversation. And you can't, actually be the depth of the human, the depth of the human experience. And I think that's going to be the challenge that companies have. It's actually finding where they can be the more human. Can they spend more time on customer service? Can they spend more time on following up with people? Can they spend more time in actually understanding how to listen correctly, understanding how to engage with the clients, really feel what their problems are, and then go from there? And then to your other point, right? How creative can we actually be? Right? I mean, there's such an opportunity to be creative within all of this. I love this idea that the AI can give you more IQ points. And what have you found as you've gone through it? How has it changed how you work?
Oh, what a great question. I love it where I could just spit out an idea in my head and have it synthesize it. Like, that to me is like almost having an advisory board, and I could have a crazy thought that I don't have to share with a human, and then look at me like I'm crazy and just go, listen, does this have legs based on what you know about me and what I'm focused on right now? How can we make this work inside of here? And I love doing that. I love taking just different sort of documents and feeding it into there and having this. I have a couple separate channels where I've just fed certain amount of documents in there and use that for what am I trying to focus on right now for my content to keep me focused and not me running aloof or things like that. And now with my YouTube channel, just helping me with ideation and then even formatting for scripting and things like that, and just making sure that all of that's there and just helping me come up with lead magnets and graphics and things like that that would have taken me hours, just hours of painstaking stuff. And nothing against Canva, that's not my skill set. It's just not where I play. And so being able to just have that sped up for me, it just makes it not just such a drudging task. And yeah, that's pretty much a lot of the places where I'm doing it, or taking a call and giving me the synthesizing the notes and making sure that we're creating summaries and all of that. I just love seeing all that and being able to do that. And like you mentioned, it's just like my little IQ partner, and then I could focus on the EQ stuff because that's where I like anyways.
Yeah, I love this idea that you're sitting with 1,000 experts in the room. And yeah, previously we'd have a book, we'd read the whole book, we'd process that in our head, and then we'd have to get the ideas, and then we'd see a problem, and we'd bring that problem into our head. And from bringing that problem, now we have to work it out in our head and bring out the solution. And that would involve me writing something down, typing something out, and just trying to get that all out. Now I can do that at 15 times the speed because I don't even need to know what the solution is. I just need to know what the problem is. And
Totally.
with the right phraseology, I get the best expert in the world sitting in a chair next to me saying, okay, so you've got this, here's where you are. And it just puts you on fire. And I hear a lot about people getting worried that, that ChatGPT, Claude, or Gemini, or any of these is going to make you dumb. And I've had exactly the opposite experience. I've done in the last 6 to 7 months, I've done 7, 8 years worth of work. And I found myself every day with how much I get through compared to what I used to. Yeah, have you found that?
I agree with you. Too much of, that word dumb when it comes to my mind when you said that is suffering doesn't make you smart. It just makes you better at suffering. And so I'm trying to get things going. I'm trying to maximize this time I have here on this earth. And this is a tool that is available to maximize it. It's not, is it good or it's bad? This is a tool. If
The
you
tool, yeah.
Any sort of tool, right? I could walk around with a hammer and break all the walls right now in my office, or I could build a house with them. It's how you use the tool, to me, is what really comes out with it.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, as we go through the agent era and all these things, the thing that I think is really hampering people at the moment is that there's so much noise with this. The concept for me is, what can you do? What do you need to do to fix your business problems? Yeah. Now, what tool, can you use for that? Because every one of these tools has got a slightly different focus. And how are you finding business owners actually taking it? I've found the uptake has been pretty poor. Yeah. People are, I say, are you using AI? Yeah, I'm doing my emails. And that's as far as it goes. But how are you finding people are using it? And how are you pushing people to think about it?
Yeah, there's obviously with like emails and ideation, but one of the things that I just started working on, and obviously these, and the other thing I think that sometimes when you're implementing a new AI, it takes time for it to learn, and you have to be on board for this learning process. But one of the companies that I'm working with, we sat down at one of their quarterlies, and one of the issues was, is they felt like their lead to call booked ratio was not as great as they wanted it to be. And one of the people raised their head and go, do we need an appointment setter? And then all of a sudden we're thinking about, okay, we need a job description. We got to train somebody. We got to find somebody. And we did some research and we found an appointment setter AI. And so we're in the early phases. Like we're not running it company-wide yet or anything like that, but we're playing around with this idea, right? And so does it make mistakes? Sure. But so does that new person I hire as well. That's what I tell them. That new person is making a mistake. This AI is $200 a month. You're spending $4,000 a month to make for that person to make a mistake. I'd rather have a $200 mistake than a $4,000 mistake. And so these things
100%.
take time to learn, but that's one of the more unique ways is in our sales process, because I think everybody in sales knows that when someone fills out a form or downloads a lead magnet, there is a moment when they hit click that there is the highest emotion to be involved in what you're doing. And every minute after that is a downward trajectory. And the faster that I could get on that trajectory, the better chance I have of them of helping them. And that's why we're starting to roll that out and implement this. It's like I said, we're just playing around with it in one little sector of the business, not all the time, but like getting people really comfortable with it. And also, too, getting the sales team comfortable with it, because at first we were like, they felt, oh, you're doing a bad job. But now that they're just getting on calls and doing the thing that they love to do and not sending 50 emails and trying to cold call people, they're like, wait a second, this does feel nice.
Yeah, for sure. And it's back to do the human thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was with my partner in Olympia, and she had some ants in the house. Okay, there was like, and she'd been chasing these ants around for 6 months, and there were some wasps outside. And it was a weekend. And she was like, okay. I said, just call someone, will you? Yeah, so she, yeah, I didn't say it like that, obviously, otherwise I'd get a slap. But yeah, she picks up the phone. We try a couple of places and she gets hold of somebody. And they're like, okay, so yeah, no one's available at the moment. We can, but I can help you out on the AI. And yeah, 15 minutes later, she had booked an appointment, to come out. And the guys called her back on the Monday and great, job done. So yeah, it's so possible now. People are getting more used to it, and people are getting I think there was a massive fear first of all, but slowly but surely that fear has been going away. So.
Yeah, I think we underestimated how great it really could be when it first came out. We just thought it was going to be some like old school computer that really didn't understand things. And you know what I love about it, like I mentioned earlier, is that it gets better every day. The more information you get it, the more, you know, it's a LLM, it's a learning man, it's a learning model. It's learning, it's understanding stuff, it's learning how you work, it's learning how you like things, and it's just here to serve you. It's not here to do anything else. And so I think that this is where it's going, especially for those customer service jobs that, listen, you want to call somebody at midnight? Guess what? Somebody has to work at midnight if this isn't there. And what about quality of life for human beings? You know what I'm saying? This is why it needs to be there. On the weekend, that company gets to give people days off. How about that? How positive is that? Some guy or gal doesn't need to be walking around with a headset when they could be with their family on a Sunday. I'm all for that. I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah, 100%. And I went through this process. I've been through it with a few clients, saying to them, okay, so if you could do everything you do now, with a third of the people, wouldn't it be nice if you just gave your staff all their time off?
Yeah.
Make the same amount of money and you've got people working 4 hours a day. What a lovely company to work for, right? Yeah, that's my mission and my vision is to go out and do that. So let's click on to Boss Up. I think that's quite a good thing to end up on and to just have some couple of ideas there, conversations around Scott and the team, and they do great work and that's just come along so far. And yeah, it's great being in that community where there's so many like-minded coaches. I think there's maybe 70 of us now.
Yeah.
And we were around the first couple, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, we were the believers. We were the apostles. We were the first ones. Okay. That's what I tell
Exactly.
everybody when they're like joining. I'm like, when we first came on, this academy wasn't even here. Yeah.
You guys got it easy. We had to slog 5 miles to school and back.
Totally.
It's the same, yeah. I love it. I love the way that we're actually able to bring ourselves into it. I have my Elevate 360 plan that my team use, and we teach people AI, we teach them wellness, we give them time back, and then you use that time to actually get their minds right and their energy right. And then we teach a business operating system. And Boss Up allowed us to do that. Whereas the other big branded companies is like, you do it our way and that's it. And we don't live in a world like that. Everyone's different, right? Yeah. So what were your thoughts about the community and how we're doing things? And yeah.
I'll tell you the truth. The reason I joined Boss Up is because I knew I could have my own brand and it could be my look and feel, and I didn't have to be a puppet like these other operating systems really force you to do. I really attribute it back to CrossFit. CrossFit was an affiliate model. You could use the methodology in any way that you want to use it. No one was going to tell you what was right or wrong. You could put your flair on it. And that's what I really loved about Boss Up, is that opportunity where I could lean on this system, I could lean on the way things are done, but I could present it in a way that fits me and how I'm trying to address the world, because you have your ideal client and I have my ideal client, the people deep in our hearts that we want to help. And it's just, this is a framework that I could use to help them. It's not the only one or the only way. And so that was the real selling point for me. I was like, okay, this is what I'm in, because I had conversations with other companies and they were like, you're daddy. And I'm not. No thanks. I wanted it to be built around me. And so it's been wonderful. It's been so great to see, like you mentioned, the community grow from when it was just maybe 20 of us. I don't even know what number we were, but it felt like there was just such a few of us. And so in just a year short time, seeing this kind of move, and now Scott's been really running and gunning with his books and putting out things to really build this brand. And so I'm excited to be one of the early adopters. I think that there's such an advantage of that. I was very much like that with CrossFit. I was there before CrossFit had sponsorships and people, it was on TV. And it just, then when it gets there, you're like, yeah, I was already here. It's just a good feeling to believe in it that way. And I love that. I really believe in the nine core competencies. I believe that 90 is the best software to use to help implement them. I
Just
think
for
that
those people that don't understand, just tell us a bit more about 90.
yeah, sir. We 90 is our business operating system software. And a lot of you could read a book and write up everything there is to write up about having a business operating system, but implementing it, keeping people accountable, having data, putting where meetings are and recording to-dos and things like that. That's where the implementation of business operating systems usually don't stick. I remember me a long time ago, Roy, I was using Trello boards and Google Docs. I was suffering. Oh, just trying to put this all together, screens up everywhere. And now that there's just one hub that people could really go to, they could use it. It's getting better every time. They just started implementing that Maz AI, which is nice to see. And Mark Abbott, who is the founder of that company, he really seems like he's in touch with what the business community needs. They just made the app a couple months ago, maybe earlier in the spring. And so it's just nice to have a software that I could bring as a solution to not only the competencies, but a way that people could really implement this and make this a part of their company, because that's where the real magic is. Implementing the operating system or starting to put it together is one thing, but 12, 24, 36 months, 5 years, when you're marching along and that flywheel just keeps humming and going, and then you know your rocks, all that works. To me, that's the real gift of the implement operating system, is that compounding effect. And to me, 90 just allows that to happen better than anything else.
And to that point, the 90 is, sorry, the 90.io, this is the working on the business SaaS platform, right? And you can separate, you have your emails and you can have all your various other systems, but there isn't anywhere else that work on the business system. And it just covers everything so well, from your weekly meetings all the way up to your annual meetings. And everything's in there and tracks all the way through. So having that separation for me is quite a useful thing. So when I sit down with a business owner, which I'm doing in 15 minutes, when I sit down with a business owner, I can say, let's look at your rocks. Let's go back. Does that actually tie in with your vision? Oh, is this taking you towards your goals? How are your team accepting the meetings now? Let's go through that. So all these kind of things, all the working on the business stuff, right, having a separate place for it really gives a focus as well.
Agreed. Agreed. And as a coach, we get access to their account. So I always have a pulse of what's going on with them. I get their email after the leadership meeting. I know what's going on. So when I'm having my one-to-ones or I step into a quarterly, I have a pulse of what's going on in the company. And there's just nothing else out there that I've seen that could allow everybody to be on the same page like that.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. So, I want to just close off with have a think about this. You've played the business game. You've been from the bottom all the way up to the top. And now, you're going out and coaching these. What's the one thing within all of this? What's the one thing that you tell someone, that's running a business that's a bit stuck, that they would, they should focus on? What's the first thing?
Patience. When I look at a business, Roy, I look at it, okay, this is missing here, this is missing here. But the first thing that I look at is what virtues are missing in this business? What tried and true virtues of just success, discipline, patience, delayed gratification, work ethic, what virtues are really missing here? And in this world where everything could be so fast, we have also lost sight of just natural rhythms of life. And impatience, to me, the opposite of impatience to me isn't patience. The opposite of impatience is trust. And in trusting that we're doing the right things and trusting that things are going to work out the right way. And it's just so easy for us in this immediate gratification world that everything should be immediate or we're bad and we're not good. And then that brings this energy from enthusiasm, really turns it around really quick. And so I think that patience is one of the first things that I really look at is the founder patient, because the founder's energy, we brought this up earlier, the founder energy is like a signal just beaming around to everybody. And if they wake up in the morning and things aren't happening fast enough and this person isn't there and all of that energy just gets poured into everybody in the company. And so I spend probably more time than I should, but I really focus on the virtues. And the first one is patience. Can you just stay enthusiastic without becoming impatient?
Dude, I love that. I love that. Thank you very much. So now, Angela, how do people get hold of you? Where do you live? Social
Sure.
media, website.
Yeah, I would say my favorite place where people could find me is my YouTube channel. It's been up and going for a few months. We got about 12 videos on there now, but just Angelo Sisco on YouTube is the best place people could find me. There's information there about my videos. Every video has some sort of quiz or takeaway or worksheet that they could not only look at the information but implement it. And that's the best place for people to find me right now. I'm putting a lot of energy into there and really excited to help people that way.
Cool. I'll also add your LinkedIn profile on here so people can connect to you. Thanks very much for coming on. It's been awesome. And yeah, let's do this again in a few months.
Oh, Roy, my spiritual business operating system brother. Absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power, where our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers starts with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.